Well, I read an article this week by the retired surgeon Henry Marsh. If I was to recommend a book to read, read Henry Marsh's Do No Harm. It's a great book. Really enjoyed reading it last year. But I read an article in a magazine this week about Henry, and he was writing about the human heart. And he quoted a cardiologist called Bernard Lowen, who spoke of many of his patients seemingly dying from heart failure, but who were revived by being given hope. Bernard Lowen openly admitted to telling lies to his patients as a therapeutic strategy, because he argued that hope is a very powerful drug. Well, if I was unwell and I had to see a doctor, I'm not sure that it would help my healing to know that the doctor was telling lies. But I do think I'd feel better if I was told I was going to get better. That would be something to hope for. The old proverb in the Bible says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. So it looks like there is a link between hope and the heart. When the Bible speaks of hope, and it does so around 180 times, it's usually in connection with hoping for the Lord. For example, Psalm 33 says, "We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield." Or Psalm 119, "You are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in your word." Or Isaiah 40, "Those who hope in the Lord will have their strength renewed." The Bible seems to make it quite clear that the birth of Jesus 2,000 years ago, the first coming of Christ, was the fulfillment of the hope for the Messiah, the Redeemer and Deliverer of God's people. And that there will be a second coming for which people are to look forward to with hopeful expectation. So what do we mean by the second coming of Christ? Well, the hope of Christ's returning is the hope for the expansion to fulfillment of God's kingdom. So what does that mean for us? Well, I think it means we're not to idly sit by until Christ returns. Instead, we're called to be co-workers with Christ to bring the kingdom to fulfillment. We're co-workers because the risen Christ is still here working through his Spirit in the lives of his co-workers. And having tasted a foretaste of the kingdom of heaven, it's no surprise then that we're hungry for Christ's kingdom rule to extend to all of creation. So in this way, we long for Christ to come into every being, into all of creation, into every person made in the image of God, male and female, into every person who has been endowed with the seed of life, with the potential to grow into Christ likeness. This longing that we all have in the deep places of our souls is what the Bible calls hope. A hope for things to be better, and a hope for things to be put right. According to the Bible, hope doesn't exist in isolation. In that first letter to the Thessalonians, Paul, Timothy, and Silas commend the Thessalonians for putting their faith into practice as they wait on the coming of Christ. In other words, as they wait in hope, they exercise faith in practical acts of service. Advent is that time of year when we can think about waiting, but it's not an idle waiting. It always includes putting faith into practice, and to do so in love, knowing that we're loved by the God who is love. This letter tells us that the Thessalonians had become known throughout Macedonia for their love. What a great thing to be known for. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be known for our love whilst we wait in hope? Imagine the impact a church might have on its community, or an individual in her street, or in his own family or workplace. Paul, Silas, and Timothy knew the importance of hope and faith and love. They could see how these three elements could run together. As Paul says in his letter to the Corinthians, these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. They encouraged the Thessalonians to increase in love to the point where their love would overflow. It says this, may the Lord increase your love until it overflows toward one another and for all people, just as our love overflows towards you. Then your hearts will be strengthened in holiness so that you may be flawless and pure before the face of our God and Father at the appearing of our Lord Jesus. So love strengthens the heart. This is how these followers of Jesus were to live the rest of their days. And it's how we're invited to live too, as we wait in hope and as we put faith into practice in the overflow of love. So we look for and we pray for opportunities to show kindness. And we get involved with acts of service in our community. But we also need to recognize that we need to keep our personal faith alive so that we will be continually given the strength to persevere and the wisdom to know where and when and how to act. Jesus himself tells his friends in Luke 21 to keep constant watch, to not let their hearts grow cold, but be on guard, to guard their hearts and watch their souls and pray for the courage and the grace to prevail over the worries and concerns of life. In the Message translation, Eugene Peterson puts it like this, don't let the sharp edge of your expectation get dulled by parties and drinking and shopping. That's an interesting translation to read this near to Christmas. The first coming of Christ brought real hope into people's lives. It transformed their perspective on life and death. It gave them something to look forward to in the coming again of Christ, which they thought would happen soon. The letter to the Thessalonians is written only some 20 years after Jesus died and rose again, but they were still expecting his return anytime soon. Jesus himself had said, after all, truly I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. But as time has gone by, people have realized that such things might not happen in their lifetime, but that their lifetimes mattered in the coming of the kingdom. Because God's way of working was to have the risen Christ intimately at work in the lives of his followers. And so in this way, he's still coming into people's lives today and on a daily basis, and will continue to do so until the end of time. Earlier in the service, during that dramatic reading, we heard a bit about the old prophetess Anna in the temple at the time when Jesus was born. She had made herself ready to point to Jesus, the Messiah. How did she do it? By worshiping God. In 84 years, she would have seen good times and bad, yet she kept on. She kept hope alive. She tended the light inside. She guarded her heart and soul. May we be like her and be known for our faith, our hope, and our love. But there is always hope in God's coming. Let us pray together. Lord, thank you for the gift of hope which you brought with Christ. May that hope sustain us in the days ahead. May it transform our relationships. And may it bring glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.